And verse number one. It's good to be up in the north. Right when the weather's changing. And I want everybody to know I'm thankful that I was up in Wisconsin last week because I got over that fall cold that normally comes every year when that weather changes. So I'm in good company now. I'm excited about good health, apple season, and excited about the fact that next season is going to start for the Boston Red Sox in just a couple of days. And I know I've hit the Yankees before, but I want you to know something. I really feel like the spirit of the New York Yankees needs to be dealt with in this church. And you know, folks, when there's sin, when there's open sin, it is a job of the local church to church discipline. You know, it's scary, but I'm afraid a lot of churches are not practicing church discipline. You say, well, what should we do with our pastor? Well, I see what you do with the Browns fan. You know, church discipline him and send him up to the middle of nowhere up in near Canada, you know? So I'm not telling you what to do with a Yankee fan, but if you send a Browns fan to, you know, middle of nowhere, I mean, I don't know where I'd send the pastor to. But I'm surprised he's still your pastor, and I want you to know that. You pray for him. He can still get right. I want you to know that. And there is still opportunity to respond and to become a Baptist Red Sox fan. I mean, there's just an open door is given. And so I want you to know that I'm still praying for your preacher. And for those of you that are not right in your head yet and you cheer for the wrong team, you can get right tonight. And by the way, I didn't know, you know, God called preachers wear Buffalo Bills ties. I mean, that's just slippery slope of compromise right there, man. I mean, what in the world is that, you know? I mean, it looks like Superman mixed with the Bills. That's not happening, man. Superman, they need like, you know, 9 Supermen on the team in order for them to do something. But anyway, you pray for this church. It needs it. And I'm praying for the church. I'm not telling you what I'm praying for, but I want you to know it's along the lines of what ball team you guys cheer for. And by the way, when I preach down south, it's great because all I do is, you know, I just make fun of them for the way they sing, you know, the way they sing and the way they preach. And then I pull open my redneck dictionary and I just start quoting to them what their words are. Up here, I got to give you a hard time about something. So you pray for me that I come up with something better. Isaiah chapter number 6 in your Bibles this evening. And verse number 1, the Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above us stood the seraphims, each had had 6 wings, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Tonight I'd like to preach on that statement there in verse number 8, where Isaiah said, Here am I, send me. Let's pray together and then we'll get started. Father, I'm asking you tonight to work in all hearts. Would you burden us about the souls that need to be saved? Father, I pray that you give us a desire to do something for you. Father, I pray that we would just have the mindset of you, Lord, to go out and do something great for you. Father, we reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help me as I preach today. I pray if there's one that's not saved, tonight would be the night of salvation for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Drinking my Mountain Dew before I get started, all right? I want you to know that. By the way, I just always say this when I do drink water. I remember when I was growing up and the preacher would drink water, I'd be like 5 years old and I'd be like, man, that looks so good. And my mouth would start to water, you know, and I'd be like, man, I can't wait till I'm a preacher and I can drink the water. So, almost as good as Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Isaiah was a God-called preacher. Isaiah was a man doing great things for God. God came to Isaiah and said, Isaiah, I've called you to go forth and I've called you to simply proclaim the word of God. Isaiah, you've been ordained of God and your job is to heed Isaiah 58 verse 1, which says, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin. And old Isaiah here got the message of Almighty God. He understood the call of God for his life, and Isaiah began to preach to those Israelite people. He began to proclaim the message of warning. He began to preach the message of it's time to get right with God. It's time to restore your walk with the Savior. It's time to line back up with Christ and turn from the idols that will pass away and set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. And Isaiah was a man that was boldly preaching the word of God. It should come here to Isaiah chapter number 6, and here is a man. I heard God saying, whom am I going to send and who will go for us? And Isaiah, the man of God, said, God, here am I, send me. And let me say, dear friend, the reality is Almighty God is looking for God-called people. He's looking for children of God to get a heavenly vision and to realize that God wants to use them in a great and powerful way in reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Understand this evening, God Almighty is looking for missionaries. He's looking for soul winners. He's looking for those that have a burden for their neighbors and loved ones and friends. He's looking for somebody I just willing to get a heavenly vision and to reach out and compel them to come in. I wonder, dear friend, this evening, where is your vision? Where is your focus? Are you an individual that is obeying the voice of God and the call of God for your life? I wonder, are you reaching out? Are you having a heart for the lost? I wonder, dear friend, when's the last time you tried to win somebody to Jesus Christ? When's the last time you invited somebody out to the meetings? When's the last time you invited somebody to church? When's the last time you witnessed to a coworker, witnessed to a loved one, witness to a neighbor? When's the last time, friends, you had that soul winner's heart desiring to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ? The Bible says there in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. God Almighty said to Ezekiel, I've set you a watchman in the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. If I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, thou speakest not to warn the wicked from his wicked way, that wicked man shall die as an iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. God said, Ezekiel, I've called you to be a watchman. Paul said to those believers there in Corinth, Almighty God has called us to be ambassadors for Christ. I think about when Paul wrote to that church in Philippi, he said, sadly, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Hey, Paul looked at that church in Philippi and said, I'm looking for somebody who's going to care for the church. I'm looking for somebody that's going to be sensitive about souls. I'm looking for somebody that is willing to have the vision of our Savior going out in the highways and hedges and compelling them to come in. You look at the life of Jesus Christ, and what was he doing? He was moved with compassion when he saw those that were scattered abroad. He was moved and wept over the city of Jerusalem. Hey, Jesus Christ was going about, moved by the crowds and burdened by their needs and burdened by their spiritual state. Our Savior had the soul winner's mind. Hey, the Apostle Paul had that missionary mindset. Peter had that mindset. I'm going to Babylon and I'm starting a church. I'm going to preach the word of God. Man, you read about men of days gone by and what was their burning drive and what was their burning desire? It was to reach out into the uttermost and see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Yet I'm afraid in our local churches we sit satisfied with the heat being on, satisfied with singing the songs as I am, and hear a man of God stand up and preach the word of God. Yet unfortunately the message stays in between our two ears. The message stays within our souls and never makes an impact upon this lost world. And let me remind you, dear friend, the only hope for America is in the word of God. The only hope for this country is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Hey, all other ground is sinking sand. You say, preacher, what about the upcoming elections? What about the economy? What about this and what about that? Well, I see here in Isaiah chapter number 6, he was a man that had that same mentality. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Look there again in verse number 1. It said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. I think about, first of all, would you notice this man as he said to the Savior, hear my semi? Would you notice, firstly, his vision? His vision I see here in verse number 1 was on the fact that here was a good godly king that passed away. It was an earthly vision. Understand, Uzziah was a good godly king. Uzziah was a man of God. Uzziah was a man that from an early age, age 16, started to reign there in the nation of Israel. He was a man that started to walk with God. He was a man that was following godly leadership. And what happened? All of a sudden, Uzziah made the choice to go against the will of God. And you read the end of Uzziah's life. I think he was king for 50 years or 52 years, something around that range. At the end of Uzziah's life, what does Uzziah do? Man, he's going to the temple and he wants to perform that sacrifice. And as he goes to perform that sacrifice in direct rebellion toward the word and the will of God, God Almighty strikes him with leprosy. And Uzziah the king, a godly man, started out right with God, died as a leprous, rebellious individual. And here Isaiah, I look at Isaiah, seeing here's a godly king. Here's a man that's been doing right, living for God. Here's a man that's been trying to lead the nation in the correct way. And all of a sudden, this man of God, this Christian, all of a sudden this godly king dies. Man, I see Uzziah throw his hands up and say, what in the world's going to happen? What in the world's going on? What in the world are we going to do? Here's our leader. Here's our king. And now he's dead. What is going to take place? You know what I see in a lot of churches? I see that's exactly what we're focused on. We're focused on the election. Well, and by the way, let me just say this. My hope is not in Mitt Romney. My hope is not in Paul Ryan. My hope is not in President Obama. My hope is not in the Congress and repealing Obamacare. It's not in the Senate. Hey, let me say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. It's on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All the ground is sinking sand. And I'm afraid we got a lot of Christians that, boy, they're caught up in the Tea Party movement. Boy, they're focused on, man, we gotta go out and we gotta support this candidate. Man, we gotta go campaign and we gotta go and picket and we gotta go and hold the signs up and we gotta go and stand and we gotta be against this and be against that. And I'm afraid we got a lot of Christians that have the mindset and the mentality, let's look at the problems and let's get all mad about it and let's get all angry about it and let's go out and try to do something for our nation. By the way, I'm for that, but when our mindset and our consuming passion is not on reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, then understand, dear friend, we have the vision, that worldly vision of unfortunately many Christians. And the Bible says when Uzziah passed away, when Uzziah stepped off the scene, what happened? Isaiah saw the Lord. When Uzziah passed away, God Almighty got a hold of Isaiah's heart, and Isaiah realized there's something more important than an earthly king, and that's honoring my heavenly king. He said there in verse number five at the end, he said, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And I wonder this evening, dear friend, where is your vision? Where is your mindset? Where is my heart? Is my heart to please my King, or is my heart in focus upon the kings of this earth? Is my mindset on compelling them to come in and reaching others with the gospel of my King, or is it trying to please the earthly king that will pass away? Isaiah said, hey, here was my vision. When Uzziah died, that's when I saw Jesus Christ uplifted and glorified. And by the way, dear friend, there's some of you that need to get that exact mindset. You need to heed Colossians 3 verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. You need to heed Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to consider him. We need to have the mindset and the vision of reaching out and winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says there, when Isaiah got that heavenly vision, that all of a sudden he saw God for who he was, and he heard the angels crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then Isaiah said there in verse number 8, he says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? I see not only the vision of Isaiah, he saw the Savior, the heavenly King, but would you notice the voice that he heard? Here the voice was saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? This was a heavenly conversation. This was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit having a conversation, and their conversation was, hey, who's going to go? Who's going to go and reach this lost world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who's going to reach Martville? Who's going to reach Fulton? Who's going to reach Oswego? Who's going to reach these college students? Who's going to go out and who's going to win these people to Jesus Christ? And I wonder, dear friend, who's going to be the one today that's going to say, you know what? I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care that we sit in our backslidden state of lack of care and concern of loss. I'm going to kick it out of neutral and I'm going to go out and I'm going to heed the voice of Almighty God. I see the cry of heaven, the Savior's heartbeat, the Savior's desire. Hey, is lifting up your eyes and looking on the fields and see they're white or ready to harvest. His heartbeat was over that woman that was immoral and ungodly, had five husbands, and the guy she was with at that time was not her husband. And Jesus said, ma'am, hey, listen, you need the living water. He was reaching out, leading her to himself. Jesus Christ, his vision and his heartbeat, Almighty God's heartbeat is for the lost. And I wonder, dear friend, when are you going to get a heavenly vision and hear the cry of God? When are you going to get a heavenly vision? And he, Daniel 12, verse 3, they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. When are you going to heed Psalms where he says the fruit of, or Proverbs where the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise, and they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I wonder, friend, when are you going to get that heavenly vision and that heavenly desire to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ? I see the heavenly conversation. I think about other individuals that have a desire to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think about there in Luke chapter number 16. You remember the rich man died, and the Bible says in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. Seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flames. The conversation takes place there and from the fires of hell as the rich man begs for mercy, begs for one drop of water. And by the way, let me say, friend, hell is a real place. Hell is a place forever. It's a place of blackness and darkness. It's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's a place where you scream for mercy forever and forever and forever and for eternity, and there is no relief. There is no mercy given. It's a place where you live in regret of the fact that you did not accept the free gift of salvation through Christ and Christ alone. Hey, hell is a real place. The lake of fire is for eternity. It says in Revelation 20:15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And there in Luke chapter number 16, the rich man is having a conversation with Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my five brothers. Would you send him back, Abraham? Here the rich man already realizing his fate is sealed, already realizing that there's no hope for him in the future, already realizing that forever and forever and forever he is doomed in the lake of fire. This rich man looks to Abraham and cries to Abraham and says, Abraham, would you send Lazarus, this beggar, back to my home? Because I have five brothers. I don't want them to come to this awful place of hell. You know, I think about that reality. There are folks right now praying in hell. By the way, friends, you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ and you're too full of yourself to pray and ask Christ to save you tonight. Understand there will come a day when every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There will be a day when you will humble yourself. There will be a day when you pray. But dear friend, it will be too late if you die in your sin without Jesus Christ. And this rich man, having had an opportunity to be saved, having had an opportunity to get his eternity settled, yet rejected Christ's offer of salvation, rejected the word of God, is praying to Abraham and he says, Abraham, would you send somebody back to reach my brother? You know, I think about that. I think about that often. How many times do we pass an individual with a praying individual in the lake of fire asking God to send somebody by their way? You know, how many co-workers have somebody that's died in their sin and spent an eternity in the lake of fire that we're not reaching with the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many souls are out there? How many neighbors, friends, and co-workers that are lost or have people that right now are begging God to send you there to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yet we're content to play the game. And we do not heed the prayer from the lake of fire. Hey, I wonder, when's the last time you really got a vision of hell? When's the last time you truly got a broken spirit and a broken heart over your lost neighbors? When's the last time you wept over them? When's the last time you wept over your lost family members? When's the last time you stayed up all night begging God to save them and begging God to do something in their life to bring them to the saving power of Jesus Christ? When's the last time, dear friend, you heard the voice of hell crying, send somebody back? Think about how there's the cry from heaven. Hey, Almighty God saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? I think about the cry from hell as they cry out and say, send, or as the rich man cried out and said, send somebody back. But I think about there in Acts chapter number 16, where Paul is getting ready and praying about what ministry God would have him, whether or not to go into Asia or head over to Macedonia. In Acts chapter 16 and verse number 9, he received that Macedonian call, where that man prayed saying, come over and help us. The Bible says Paul, after having that vision, realized that God had called him to go. He went and was obedient because of that Macedonian call. Hey, Paul heard the voice of the heathen and their cry was, would somebody come? Would somebody help us? Would somebody reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Hey, let me say, New York is crying out for somebody to show them the way to everlasting life. They're crying out and they're pleading, though they may not verbally be expressing it. Oh, the cry is real and the cry is out there. We're looking for answers. We need help. There's no hope in the church. There's no hope in religion. There's no hope in baptism. There's no hope in things that we do. And then they're crying out saying, we're looking for hope. We're looking for answers. And I wonder, when's the last time, sir? When's the last time, ma'am, you heard that the heathens cry and you went out and you tried to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? When's the last time you were concerned about this area? When's the last time I was burdened about lost souls? When's the last time I did something to try to reach the heathen with the gospel of Jesus Christ? I was talking to my mom today. She lives there in Wilton, New Hampshire. My parents do. That's where I grew up. My mom's praying about what God would have, that God would bring somebody to the Wilton area to start an independent Baptist church. You realize where I live there in Wilton, New Hampshire, if you were to draw an hour circle around Wilton, New Hampshire, there is just a few, two, maybe three gospel preaching churches. And understand, they don't even stand right on the Bible. They don't stand right on standards. They don't stand right on separation. But two or three gospel preaching churches in an hour radius of where my parents live in Wilton, New Hampshire, right outside of Boston, Massachusetts. And then my mom's praying and asking God, would you send somebody over here to Wilton, somebody to Milford, somebody to Temple, somebody in this area to reach this area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me say, dear friend, yes, New England is hard. And yes, the Northeast is cold and indifferent to the Word of God. But oh, that we would have some individuals with that heavenly vision and that heavenly mindset that would say, I don't care what everybody else thinks. I don't care how long they've been without the Savior. I'm going to reach out and I'm going to do my job. And I'm going to try to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The cry of the heathen. Send somebody back. There again in Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? I want to hear in this room tonight. Where's that individual? Where's that dad? Where's that mom that's willing to heed that call? Hey, where's that teenager that's willing to say, by the grace of God, I'm willing to give my life full time to reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Where's that young person that's willing to get a burden for the lost, that's willing to reach out and witness to their friends and loved ones? Where's that individual tonight that's going to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to heed the call of God? He said, whom shall I send? The voice talking, who's going to go for us? And I like the vocation of Isaiah, as he said there in verse number 8, he said, here am I, send me. Isaiah said, you know what, I'm not going to wait for my friends to surrender. I'm not going to wait till I get approval from mom and dad to be a soul winner. He didn't say, I'm not going to wait till you know everybody likes me and I'm favorable and man, I'm the student body president in high school to go out and do something for Jesus Christ. No, Isaiah simply heard the voice of God saying, who's going to go? And Isaiah said, you know what? I'm done playing the game. I'm done just, you know, pretending to be concerned about souls. I'm done tired of singing, rescue the perishing and care for the dying and sitting on my seat and not doing anything for Christ. Isaiah said, God, you know what? You need a volunteer then. Hey, just right here, just pick me. Here am I, send me. Here am I. Hey, pick me. I'm willing to go. I wonder, when's the last time you volunteered? When's the last time you were concerned? When's the last time I was concerned? Oh, we talk about it. We talk about the need for soul winning. We talk about the need for reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'm afraid, by the way we act and the way we talk and the way we behave, we don't really care. You say, what do you mean, Brother Schwenke? You know the sad reality is in our church. I hope this isn't the case of this church. But our church, you know, the reality is we only have 7 or 8 visitors a week. We're running 700, 800. 7 or 8 visitors a week. You say, preacher, that's good, 1% bringing visitors into church. Are you kidding me? 1%? Is that all we're doing? Just reaching 1%? 1% out of the... just one time, you know, we're just going to bring... Where's our vision? Where's our soul-winning drive? Where's our burden for the lost? Hey, when's the last time you brought somebody to church? When's the last time you handed out a gospel tract and said, hey, this will show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? When's the last time, friends, you were a soul winner? I'm afraid it's something we talk about. Something we act spiritual about. But I'm afraid... testimony time where we come around, we have to admit we're not doing our job of winning people to Jesus Christ. I was talking to my mom this afternoon. She said, Steve, she said, I got an interesting story to tell you about yesterday, Sunday. She said, my parents had just recently left the church that we grew up in for 20 plus years because the church is going new evangelical and heading down the wrong way, changing the music, standards have already been gone. They've just been hanging on for at least the last 10, 12 years trying to keep the church from going down that way. Finally, they said to Pastor, enough's enough. We're not going that way. And they said, we're resigning membership and we're going to find a new church. And if not, then we'll start a church. But she said, we went to church on Sunday at a church 45 minutes away. She said, as I walked in, she said, I was greeted by a 31-year-old girl. My mom could say girl at 31, all right, because she's old now. She's above 50, so she's old, you know. And by the way, if you're over 40, you're old, okay? I want you to know that. But she said, I got a big old hug by a 31, 32-year-old girl. I said, really? I said, who was that? She said, it was Natalie Grondin. Natalie Grondin, to back up 25, 30 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, I'll never forget it. We were at home in Nashua, New Hampshire. And we got home from school, and Natalie came over to our house. Tears were streaming down her eyes, crying like crazy. My mom said, boys, get out of here. She kicked us out of the room. We had to leave, and I'll never forget watching my mom as she hugged Natalie as they cried over her dad being killed in the Pittsburgh plane crash in, I think it was 1992, and Natalie's dad was in that plane crash. My mom was weeping with her and crying with her, and she asked Natalie a question. She said, Natalie, if you die today, would you go to heaven? We don't know what your dad did. We don't know where your dad's at. But if you died, would you be saved? And Natalie, that day, trusted Christ to be your Savior. We moved a couple years after that. We moved to Wilton, New Hampshire, where we grew up the rest of our time, and had lost complete contact with Natalie. My mom walked in there, and Natalie gave her a big old hug. And here Natalie has 4 kids, serving the Lord as an assistant pastor's wife at a church in New Hampshire, doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what happened? What was the result? The result was, hey, my mom was willing to have a soul winner's heart. My mom was willing to reach out and say, hey, if you died today, would you go to heaven? There's fruit that abounds. I think about my grandparents, saved on a snowy Wednesday evening. The preacher canceled church at the Emmanuel Gospel Church because he couldn't make it up the hill to get to church. And on his way back home, he stopped at 32 Whiteside Street and knocked on the door and said to him, Walton O'Schwanky, can I show you from the Bible how you can be saved? And there on that kitchen table, there he opened up his Bible and he showed my grandparents how they could be saved. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying I'm here preaching the Word of God today because a preacher was concerned about my lost grandparents. Hey, there's an assistant pastor's wife that's in the ministry reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ because my mom had a care and a concern about the lost. And I wonder, friend, when's the last time you had that heavenly vision? And you said, you know what, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do my job. And I'm going to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder, can you say tonight, here am I, send me. I wonder, can you say tonight, I'm going to do something about soul winning. I'm going to take some gospel tracts. I'm going to get out there and do the job God's called me to do. Or are you going to sit back, lukewarm and indifferent concerning souls? Hey, friend, we need to hear the voice of God saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And we must respond, here am I, send me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes together for the word prayer. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that it's powerful, that it's alive, that it's life-changing. Father, you've called each and every child of God to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray now that we would heed that call. Father, I pray that we'd be burdened about lost family members. Lord, that we'd be concerned about our neighbors and co-workers. Father, give us a heavenly vision. Lord, may we hear the cry from hell. Well, may we hear the cry of the heathen, begging for help, asking for somebody to show them the way. Father, I pray tonight that you would move in this invitation. And may we make decisions to just not give heed to the fact that we need a soul win. But Father, I pray that we would determine to leave, to go out and do what you've called us to do. Would you work, I pray, in this invitation? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We already have some folks here at the altar praying, but I want to say, Brother Schwanke, tonight God's convicted me. He's spoken my heart about my lack of soul winning desire, lack of reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I need to do business with God tonight, preacher. Would you pray for me? I need to respond. Here am I. Send me all over the room, preacher. That's me. Pray for me. Good. That's me, preacher. Good. I need to do what God's called me to do. Good. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Good. Good. I wonder, lastly, would there be one that say, you know, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven, but I know Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again. And tonight I need to be saved. Would you pray for me, preacher? I'm not saved. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Anybody at all, I won't embarrass you, I won't call you out, but I would like to pray for you. Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Well, Father, thank you for working tonight. Thank you for these that raised their hand. Now, Father, I pray we do business with you. May we have a soul winner's heart. May we leave different than when we came in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together and take that hymn book and turn to hymn number
478.
Hymn number